now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade, written by Paul Wright. Yep, here again, folks. Your friends Vic and Sade, brought to you by Procter & Gamble, the makers of Crisco. And with them is Mrs. Beach, your radio neighbor. Mrs. Beach has been telling me that her family gave her quite a day last Saturday.
Yes, they did, friends. You see, it was my birthday, and at our house, when it's your birthday, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Well, I didn't lift my hand all day. My daughter Dissy did all the shopping, and what do you suppose my son Johnny did? Well, he made a pie, a raspberry pie. Yes, Johnny said I'd talked so much about Crisco's new pastry method that, well, he thought he'd try it himself, and the pie was delicious. I'm such a sugar saver now, I'd suggested his using a third of a cup of honey for the filling instead of sugar, and it worked beautifully. And then the crust was so tender and flaky. Johnny was a little surprised it turned out so well. But really, friends, it's almost a miracle the pastry success you'll have when you use pure all-vegetable Crisco and Crisco's new method. In fact, the Crisco people guarantee you tender, flaky pie crust every single time or your money back. That's right. You see, you can't buy another shortening at your store that's like Crisco. It's specially made just to give you tender, flaky pie crust. Now, isn't that reassuring to know when you're making a pie? So if you haven't already tried this new Crisco pastry method, well, I wish you would. It's printed right on the Crisco label. And remember, you'll get tender, flaky pie crust or your money back. Yes, if you aren't satisfied with your Crisco pie crust, just drop me a note on the back of a Crisco label telling me why. Address me, Mrs. Isabella Beach, care of Crisco, Cincinnati, Ohio. And the Crisco people will refund you the price of one full pound. So try making a pie this new Crisco way real soon, won't you? And let me know how you like it. And now, I wonder what's going on at the Gook House.
Well, sir, the evening meal has been over only a little while as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook. Vic is at the telephone talking earnestly with his employer, Mr. Rubish, while Sade, wearing an apron and carrying a dish towel, hovers near the library table.
Yes, I believe I've got everything organized, Chief. No, I'll be there with bells on and rearing to go. Want some?
Go ahead, finish your task.
Oh, that's right, Chief. I'll have all that material in my briefcase. No, I believe I'm all set to climb on the train this minute if necessary.
Dishes on them?
Oh, that's all you had washed.
Sure thing, Mr. Rubin.
You could have gone ahead and washed the rest of them.
Uh-huh.
And wiped them, too?
Why not?
That'd be fine divisional labor.
People, please.
Let your father talk on the telephone.
Why is everybody lurking around like chicken hawks? Makes a guy uncomfortable, trying
to... Big pardon, Mr. Rubin. Those arrangements have all been made, Mr. Rubin.
Yep.
No, I think I can pretty well say that I've got a clean slate as far as the office is concerned. Yeah. Oh, well. Fella don't go on a month's inspection tour every day. Okay, Chief. You bet. See you tomorrow. He's a knee number one old boy.
He give you a compliment, did he?
Oh, not compliments. But he's gratified with the way that I buckled down and got stuff in shape to leave on this inspection tour.
Uh-huh.
May I ask once again why everybody lurks around like chicken hawks?
I don't know why Willie is. He's supposed to be out doing the dishes.
I'm supposed to be out in the kitchen doing half the dishes. Because I agreed you were to wash them and I was to wipe them. I wiped all you had washed, so naturally my part of the job come to a standstill. I couldn't hardly...
All right.
Sure.
Vic, in the jam-jumble of accomplishing the 509 million things I had to do today, I forgot to tell you the most important thing of all.
Uh-huh.
I suppose you're still excited and happy about the going-away gift shower the Thimble Club ladies gave you last week.
They're not giving me an headache.
No. Uh-huh. You are excited and happy over that shower, aren't you?
Sure.
Sitting down on the Davenport, huh, Rush?
You're sitting down on the Davenport.
Such laziness. Such laziness.
Why, George, search me where the laziness comes in. If you and another individual took a job digging a hole with a pick and shovel, and the other individual laid down his shovel and told you to go ahead and dig the hole by yourself, wouldn't you scream like a panther and throw your shoes over the people's bank building?
If you're finished with your fancy speech, perhaps I can speak to your father.
Oh.
Well, what about the Thimble Club ladies' gift shower, kiddo?
Well, it made you glad and happy, didn't it?
Drew a blast of my porter's whistle just last night. I had a drink out of my collapsible drinking cup yesterday afternoon.
They are lovely presents.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. That dandy going away gift shower put an idea in the heads of another group of ladies.
Another group of ladies is going to give me a dandy going away gift shower?
No, not quite that. These ladies are all Thimble Club ladies, but they got a new notion for something nice to do for you in honor of your leaving for a whole month on your grand inspection tour.
Huh?
It's a see Mr. Gook off on the train celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Thimble Club ladies can be so sweet. Here's their present husband going out of town for a whole month, and they doctor up a going away gift shower, and that was such a success, they're encouraged to go ahead with another stunt.
See Mr. Gook off on the train celebration.
Yes.
All the Thimble Club ladies be down to depot to wave goodbye at me?
Oh, not all of them, I don't imagine.
Hmm.
Well, here's what happened. Slipped my mind up until 5 minutes ago. I received a telephone call early this afternoon.
Hmm.
It was Mae Brandeis.
Hmm.
You remember her, don't you?
I believe I met her.
Sure, in the lobby of the Bijou the other evening. She admired your necktie.
Oh,
my necktie she admired.
Was it? Well, anyway, she called up representing a little clique of ladies from way out west that belong to the Thimble Club.
Uh-huh.
There's four of them. They all come from way out west originally, so they got that bond between them.
Uh-huh.
Nate Brandeis, Barbara Bushwell, Cad Candy, and Ellen Conan. All sweet girls. Well, they were so enthusiastic over the success of your going-away gift shower, they put their heads together and doctored up this new stunt.
See Mr. Gukoff on the train celebration, huh?
Yes.
Molly Clarsongo's dad really loves to recall to mind the occasion when him
supposed
and his lady...
Supposed to be flattered, a crowd of ladies down at the railroad station waving goodbye when the conductor shouts all aboard.
Hey.
And throwing sawdust.
Throwing sawdust?
Throwing sawdust is an old Western custom when you see somebody off on the train.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like throwing rice at the bride and groom, Emma.
Exactly. Mm, throwing sawdust at the departing traveler is a favorite old Western custom.
Hmm.
Ain't you excited about this?
Ew. Yeah.
You don't appear any too enthusiastic.
Oh, well, I was just...
You see, these four ladies, Mae Brandeis, Barbara Bushwell, Cad Candy, and Ellen Conan, brought this up all by themselves. Really, it's kind of a bouquet for my lap. I'm their president, and my husband's going off out of town to be away an entire month. What you looking so funny about?
I was just reflecting on how Mr. Buller and Mr. Rubish are going to react to this demonstration.
Why?
Well, I am traveling in their company, see. They're both big shots and my superiors in the firm.
Well?
Well, they won't be startled, will they? A gang of women pelt me with sawdust and shrieking goodbye?
Oh, now, hey.
Well, the chief, Mr. Rubish, is a very modest, unassuming man. He hates anything on the showy side. I doubt if he'd fancy the idea of getting covered with sawdust.
Well, they'll be throwing the sawdust at you.
Well, it sounds liable to get on him, though, ain't it?
Oh, yes.
I'm traveling with those big shots in rather a minor capacity, Steve. I'm more of a confidential secretary than anything else. I'm wondering if it would sit just right with Mr. Rubish. A gang of women pelt me with sawdust and otherwise creating a disturbance when two...
Well, if that's not the bullet that choked Billy Tanner.
Mr. Rubish and Mr. Buller might get the impression you just got married, Dove, and your bride is hiding in the vestibule.
These lovely, lovely ladies want to pay you about as nice a compliment as a...
Well,
person.
I appreciate their thoughtfulness. Don't think for a minute I don't appreciate their thoughtfulness. Why, see, Mr. Gukoff on the train celebration is about as pretty a gesture as I've ever heard of.
Huh?
But Mr. Buller and Mr. Rubish, I'm afraid they wouldn't understand. Especially Mr. Rubish. Why, he even tried to discourage a bunch of girls from the office coming down to the railroad station.
Yeah?
Protested like a horse.
Are a bunch of girls from the office coming down to the railroad station?
Yeah.
Who are they?
Olive Hammersweet, Lolita De Rienzi, and Betty Walters.
Uh-oh.
What are they going to throw, though?
Yes, what are they going to throw?
Throw?
Rice, sawdust, old shoes, hard coal, or what?
Yes.
Well, they're not going to throw anything that I know of. Oh, I believe they have it in mind to give us a bouquet of flowers.
What's the idea?
Well, no idea to it. Their bosses are leaving town on an inspection tour and won't be back for a whole month. they considered it the thing to do to come down to the depot and wave goodbye.
They can come down to the depot, huh, and wave goodbye, but other ladies is barred.
Oh, now, say.
I just wanted to know, is all.
Well, see, there's a difference between a few kids from the office seeing us off and a crowd of Thimble Club ladies hurling sawdust around and acting like I was some well-known celebrity, whereas I'm just a guy more or less going along for the ride.
I just wanted to know, was all.
Well, I'd expect you and Rush, maybe Fred and Ruthie, and Hal or so from the lodge to be on hand to see me off on my trip, but ye kiddo tried to understand how I'd feel in front of my superiors if a mob of cheering women showed up with a
brass
band.
It's all right. Perfectly all right. I understand.
You know I appreciate the Thimble Club's thoughtfulness.
Sure. Well, I'll telephone all four ladies then. I'll tell them not to bother accumulating any sawdust.
Maybe just as well.
Well, Willie boy. How about our separate dishes?
Okay.
You wash and I'll wipe.
Fine.
Shall we walk to the kitchen?
Yeah.
Golly, we're doing our separate dishes late.
Yeah.
Don't be mad at me, kiddo.
Yes, eh?
Don't be mad at me.
I'm not mad at anybody.
I'll be leaving in just a few days. Let's not have any differences so close to the time that I'm going on my inspection tour.
I'm not mad at anybody.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. Well, it kind of looks like Vic's in bad, doesn't it, Mrs. Beach?
It certainly does. But maybe Sade can appease the Thimble Club ladies with this new recipe. It's for cabbage chop suey. We have it quite often in the summer. I just take some shredded cabbage, some sliced celery, pepper, and onions, and fry them very lightly in hot Crisco. And then, after they've gotten nice and brown, I cover the skillet tightly and let the chop suey steam for about 5 minutes. That's all you have to do. Just put a little seasoning in, and you've really got something that tastes good. My family certainly like it, but they love all fried foods. That's why I'm so grateful Crisco is a digestible shortening. You see, you have to be careful when you have youngsters to feed. But I know Crisco is pure and all vegetable and easy to digest. Isn't it wonderful that Crisco fried foods are not only delicious, but digestible, too?
And so we leave Mrs. Beach and Crisco's Vic and Sade until the next time. Don't forget to listen. This is Ed Roberts speaking.